we have Dr. Candace Makita Moore with FOSS for Docs.
Thank you. I'm Candace Makita Moore, and I will be giving a presentation about FOSS for Docs. First, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. Then I'll tell you what I mean by FOSS for Docs. Then I will try to convince you to get involved in this, or if you're already involved in it, kind of give you some tips about what you're doing. And I'll conclude with some deeper insights about how to be successful when you do this. So about me, I have my bachelor's from Columbia. I got my MD in Technion. I went further in my medical training. I did an internship. I did further training in emergency and radiology. And now I'm a research software at the Netherlands Science Center. So stopping my biography there, you can probably figure out what happened. I married a really awesome guy, and I wanted to get out of the place I was. So he got a job in Europe. I said I'd follow. I'd learned Dutch. You can't really work in the hospital when you don't speak the native language. So I sort of reverted back to something I did before I went into medicine, which was software engineering. These days, like almost 3 years later, I do speak Dutch, and you can find me 2 days a week now at Rotterdam Erasmus Medical Center. So I think I know a little bit about this because I've helped create a lot of what I call FOSS for Docs, and by that I mean free open source software meant to help medical staff accomplish medical research or treatment goals. So right now I work mostly on CVSL, which is sort of processing arterial spin labeled sequences and other sequences from brain MRIs. And that's really typical of what I do. Usually I'm working with radiological data, but not always. So an example where I didn't is ReSurf EMG. That was a project where I was the lead engineer because my center gave a grant to a group at U20 to work with respiratory surface electromyography. And the grant ended, like I guess, about a year ago. But recently I realized that the scientists and engineers I work with have actually had a couple releases since I left the project. So it's still going strong across a couple academic medical centers. So now I want to warn you a little bit if you're new to this area. If you get into this, you're going to be annoyed, okay? So one thing I want to warn you about is that in hospitals and health systems, on average, we don't have the best computer scientists and software engineers. That is not always true. But maybe you could see that as a positive, right? Because if you know anything, you're going to come out looking like a hero. But seriously, I'm here to try and get more people who are really enthusiastic and into open source to think about doing these kinds of projects. Unfortunately, when you do this, if you work in a hospital, you're going to be at best outside of a hierarchy. At worst, you'll be on the bottom, and people will treat you like the gum on their shoe, OK? Just deal with it. That's part of the culture of medicine. It's a very strong culture. And one of the things that distinguishes it is the language. I can tell you from experience, if you're sort of a math nerd like me, nobody's going to speak your language. Just as an example, a long time ago when I started doing quantitative image analysis on radiological images, I tried to talk to one of my colleagues, who was another doctor, about it, and I was just sort of going off about this and, you know, the dot product, and he was like, wait. The Matrix is like the Matrix of the movie, right? He wasn't kidding. I mean, that's kind of just what you'll have to deal with. And I want to add a couple final warnings. If you're truly, like, hardcore into FOSS, you will just have to make peace that people in healthcare systems they use all of these proprietary products when perfectly good FOSS is available. Part of that is trust issues, and part of that I really blame on us, okay, like as FOSS creators, because a lot of FOSS projects that are actually pretty good, if you bother to read the code, just have a lack of swag and swagger. So what do I mean by that? I brought an example, right? You know, logos, a little merch. Make your thing stick in people's mind. If you push past all of this and you're creating software, there's a final thing I want to warn you about if you're working in a hospital system. Unfortunately, within the hospital bureaucracies and health system bureaucracies, there are some people with power and some pretty weird ideas about the possibilities and ways to make wealth through technology. At some point, like myself, you will run into people who tell you, no, you can't open source this because otherwise you won't have any money and we won't have any money and nothing will work. So it's not that they're evil, it's just that they aren't aware of how these things can actually be viable. So just as one example, most hospital and health systems have some really kind of wackadoodle legacy systems that are all kind of joined together in a weird way in the hospital. And if you do something that needs to harvest and move around data, then you can make FOSS and also charge the hospitals just to customize what you made. And this is just one model. I don't have time to get into all of them. But you have to tell people this, because otherwise you'll just hit a hospital lawyer who says, no, 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 you can't open source that. And now that I've told you about all these things, I want to tell you why to do this anyways. The simple answer is it matters. And I've seen so many bright minds, like literal PhDs in physics, go to startups where they do things that, in my opinion, don't matter as much, like use neural nets on fashion on the internet, or whatever. So I tried this in a room of doctors, and only one person got one of these. So I'm curious if anyone will even guess, I'll give you some merch. Can anyone identify either of these diseases? No. Okay. I'll give away merch at random later. So these diseases are diseases that we've had phenomenal success in getting the life expectancy up on. It's cystic fibrosis and sickle cell. And specifically, I can tell you, in the case of sickle cell, or both of them, obviously, 100 years ago, computers and computer programmers were not part of the story. Today, especially in sickle cell, that curve is going up, and that is powered by software, okay? And I can tell you that because I work with people who work specifically on this, okay? There's also the international humanitarian angle. So in my first slide, you saw me like on the coast of Greece, where I was part of an emergency volunteer crew. In those efforts, software actually plays a role because we have to do things like track infectious diseases that are coming from people and going places. So you'll fight a strong culture in medicine, but you can win and you can do great things. You just need to come prepared. So the three things at the top there, I think, are just non-negotiable. You might not have the funding to get all sorts of swag immediately, but for crying out loud, at least get a logo. I've seen so many beautiful projects that don't have a logo and they don't have the kind of person on them who will go out and speak about stuff, and they don't get any use, okay? And so they're gonna die. The second thing is get a medical reader. Get an MD who doesn't code that much to read your documentation and give you honest thoughts about it. And you may end up, like I do, essentially splitting your documentation. So there's a side for engineers and programmers and there's a side for doctors. And the third thing, not as obvious, but probably the most important, is get your legal game going from day zero. So, I mean that for everyone, even if you don't touch a piece of patient data. If you touch patient data in Europe, yeah, GDPR, all of these things, it will come into play. But hospitals are large bureaucratic institutions, health systems, anything that touches health. And, things like even getting the right contract may take months, but if you don't straighten this out, you will end up with problems. So those three things are not optional, in my opinion. As you move forward, get some videos. This is because as doctors and other people of this type move higher in the hierarchy, they get less and less negative feedback, and they sort of want to appear in charge of everything, and they're not going to go to a meeting and tell you, I don't understand. Videos are something they can play in the privacy of their own home and learn what you're trying to tell them. Another thing that I think is really important, especially because I do signal processing, is getting more than one institution on board early. You will discover that algorithms you might be using at one institution might not work so well at another, and it's better to discover that early. And of course, it's great if your team has a nice person you can send to meetings. And finally, once you've really built up what you're doing, please get a no-code interface, because a lot of physicians are not even going to want to do as much as putting into two lines of command line, and you will never convince them otherwise. Oops. So on a deeper level, these things I'm talking about, they really have to do with like culture. And when I think about culture, I sort of prefer the metaphor of like water to a fish, which I think it was an American writer came up with. You sort of don't know you're in it until you're out of it. And there are really different professional cultures between medicine and software engineering. One tiny example of that is how overloaded the terms are in computer science and software engineering, like correctness. I mean, and how many things does Docker mean? I mean, like, this is just painful for me, even though I'm kind of part of both worlds. In the past year, I've gone to a bunch of things that were about diversity, and I sort of left annoyed, but they talked about breaking the world up into F cultures and G cultures. And they say F cultures are hierarchical, conformist. They emphasize the group, and they're usually non-Western. These are cultures that in Netherlands people think of as like exotic. Well, yeah, I've worked in the Western medical system for many, many years, and I can tell you that's medicine, okay? there is a reason for that. You know, we can't just all go our own way and do what we want, otherwise patients might start dying. So you have to learn to sort of navigate our culture. And, you know, unfortunately, you have to learn how to navigate your place in this hierarchy. So you have to be very respectful of those above you. You have to not sort of make them feel threatened. So give them their learning in smaller doses. I mentioned videos. The other thing that is super effective is to actually go sit with people. Even if they are like what we have in the Netherlands, technical physicians, they might not be so technical. Those people are supposed to be like halfway between an engineer and a doctor. You may have to sit with them and show them about something like as simple as command line that we're all very used to. But that helps because you get a sense of like what they will be capable of dealing with, and you probably walk away and think, God, I just need to make a GUI, because there's no hope. But you know, you also get a sense when some of your nomenclature is unsettling for people, and it will be. And finally, please, like, worry about your legal issues, then make something shiny, in the sense that it has a logo and it's well presented. So some final thoughts. I want to emphasize that there's a lot of unevenness in how software is sort of spreading across the world. And I've worked in places like Haiti. I've interacted with professionals in several African countries. Software is spreading, and unfortunately, it's often proprietary software. And this is really terrible, because what you see is when big companies, just to give an example, like Microsoft, sort of move in, they often set up systems, intentionally or not, that make a sort of vendor lock-in inevitable, that the health data and the system become so fused that the institutions, the hospitals, just can't get away from this stuff. It's like, you know, sticky. So I think it would be great if people who made FOSS sort of got there first and get their shiny, you know, in a way that builds trust. I hope I've convinced you either to think about this or maybe to sort of up your game if you're in this area. And if you have any questions, you can send them to me. My email at the Science Center is right on the bottom line. Okay. And that's it.